8th chapter of the book of Exodus. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. God had the divine will. When you find it, just hold it there, and I'm going to make some comments, and then we'll read. When you come to this part of the Bible, God had called Moses from the backside of the desert, from a place called Midian, said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to be the deliverer of my people, the chosen people. I want to lead them out of bondage. And when Moses went before Pharaoh to tell him what God had said, the Bible says Pharaoh refused to let the people go. He didn't go along with the program that God had outlined. Then the 7th chapter, and I'm not going to read there, in order to get Pharaoh's attention, God had Moses and Aaron to strike the waters of the Nile River. And the Bible says the waters turned to blood and the fish died. Let me just ask a question. This is not Bible study. Have you ever been around dead fish? It's quite an odor. Bible said the fish died. And the Egyptians could no longer drink any drinking water. And the Bible said they had to dig wells around about to try to find water suitable for drinking. Yet with all of that, Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to let the people go. Sometimes it seems as if it takes God something very drastic to wake people up. But you know what my prayer is? God, whatever it takes, let it happen. If it wakes people up and they get saved, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Then in the 8th chapter, I'm going to read the first 5 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into the bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Moses was God's servant. He had a message from God for Pharaoh. He was faithful to deliver it. Let me share something with you to begin with today. Thank God for those that are faithful. How many, when the battle got hot, threw up their hands in despair and gave up and quit? But Moses was God's servant, and he had a message to deliver. And when Pharaoh rejected the original message, and God turned the waters to blood, now God sends Moses back to Pharaoh, and the frogs come. Moses didn't give up. He kept going. He was persistent. Made another trip back to the palace. Pharaoh this time again rejects God's command. I'll stop again and pause. It's a dangerous thing to disobey God. I don't think that even registers sometimes in our lives. It's a dangerous thing to disobey what God has to say. And so on this occasion, rather than sending another plague of blood, water turning to blood, this time he sent frogs. Let me read the 6th and 7th verses. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt, and I will stop there. I don't really know the reason. I don't know the how or the whereabouts. Some people believe that a Pharaoh called his magicians to bring some frogs, or maybe tried to rid the land of frogs. But instead, when they went about their temptations or whatever, that they brought up frogs as well. I am not sure. I do not know what it was, but let me leave this with you today. When Pharaoh's magicians brought frogs
And what do you know is the power of the devil? It was witchcraft. It was magicians. And the devil is still powerful today. And he will deceive the very saints of God if he can. But we need not let Satan deceive us. We can have the victory. Amen, amen. The Bible says that they struck the waters and frogs came up upon the land. And I want to use an illustration here to start off along this lines in the 8th verse. Because of their refusal, because of their not heeding the warning that Moses gave, God now fills the land with these clammy skin frogs, and they were everywhere. People couldn't go anywhere, they couldn't do anything without them being there, in the streets and in the marketplace and in the yards and everywhere. Frogs. Sometimes after service, the little tiny frogs come up out here at the side. Children like to catch them. Little fellas, can you imagine big croaking frogs everywhere? But they didn't stop in the highways or in the yards or in the marketplace. The Bible said they made their way into the houses of the people. They made themselves right at home in the homes of the Egyptians, and they were in the living rooms and in the kitchen and in the bedrooms. Not only that, the Bible said they made their way into the ovens and into the beds, into the pantry. Frogs. Everywhere. So I have two thoughts I would like to bring to your attention here. I believe one reason why God had the waters turn to blood is because the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. It was sacred. They had a god of the waters. And God literally had the waters turned to blood so that they had no drinking water to let him know that he's God. Amen. And not only that, the Bible lets me to know, and history lets me to know, that Egypt worshipped frogs. And that's not hard for me to understand. In India, they worship the cow and so many other things, the monkey in China, and so many other things, and we find that in Egypt they worshipped frogs. They even had a frog goddess. A goddess with a frog head. And the goddess was named Hika. In Egypt. But God is letting Pharaoh know that your God is no, cannot compare with the Almighty God. Your God is nothing when it comes to the God. Listen closely. The God of this world today is nothing compared to the God of the heavens. He's almighty. Yes. He can do anything. Yes. He can do anything in our lives. He can bless us abundantly. And he wants to, amen. What a good God we're serving. And so, God has let Egypt to know that he's in control. And there's another important lesson here. This plague of frogs is a type of sin in the lives of men and women in our day. This is important. Sin is everywhere. Sin is everywhere. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is everywhere. And man, with sin in his life, man cannot get rid of sin. No more than he can get rid of the God. Man cannot on his own get rid of sin. He can try to do his best, but he can never do it. He needs your help. He needs someone to come to the rescue. He needs someone to come aside and help him out, to deliver him, to save him. The Bible declares that all have sinned. Man is like the magicians. Cannot solve his sin problem. Cannot rid sin out of his own life. Cannot save himself. He needs someone. I'm glad that I can tell you this morning, I have met that someone, and you have met that someone, and his name is Jesus, and we ought to rejoice. Yeah. If you're saved today, you've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. I've read some scriptures I found. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something to rejoice about. I read in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God that He came to save me and He came to save you. I read in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans in the 13th verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to pause just a moment this morning and say, thank God for saving me from my sins, and He kept me all the way to glory, amen. Even to today, He kept me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God can not only save, but He can keep us from falling. Amen. The last verse of the book of Jude. Amen. He can keep us from falling. What a Savior, what a mighty God. A long time ago, Daniel prophesied that in the last days that there would be a lot of things take place, and knowledge would really, I never heard that until a few years ago, there'd be an explosion of knowledge. We didn't used to use that term, but everyone understands it now. But there would be such an accumulation of knowledge in the world. It'd be on the increase. More than man could ever imagine. And let me just say this right now. It's happened.
Yes.
I was talking to Rachel before service, and I was talking to Molly last Wednesday, or maybe it was last week sometime. And I asked her what the name of that thing she had. It was an iPhone. I was educated this morning. There's a difference between an iPhone, an iPad, and an iPod.
Amen.
I'm going to take your word for it. But Molly had an iPhone. And I mentioned this, and I'm going to mention it again. That thing can do so many things. I said, it's dark, Molly. We just need to get a flashlight. She flipped that thing, and the flash, the light went on that iPhone. You get lost, hit that iPhone, it'll tell you where you are, where you're going. Only thing that I know they can't do, they can't cook and can't wash dishes. Working on it. But it's technology.
Yes.
I heard a long time ago, W.R. Corbin, the president of Southwestern Bible College in Oklahoma City, he said recently, the knowledge of the world has increased in 15 years. It's doubled. What we knew 15 years ago, we know twice that much now. And W.R. Corbin said this, and this was a long time ago. He said that they are expecting it to double now in less than half of that time. In the next 7.5 years, it will double. If that's a long time ago, it must be doubling now about every 3 months. I don't know. But technology. Think about it, as young as I am, in my lifetime, they've split the atom. They sent a man to the moon. Got a space station out there that you go out there and spend months and months and months. Who wants to? But they do. So much technology in the world. So many things have happened. I thought of what has taken place. I picked up the paper last Monday, I believe it was, the Daily Press. Now I saw a building that's been built in Dubai, the United Emirates, whatever they call it, Arabic Emirates. They built a residential building, an apartment building, over 1,300 feet high. That's taller than the Empire State Building. We're not talking about offices. We're talking about people living on the 135th floor. When I saw that, and it's a beauty. I think two or three of the tallest buildings in the world are in Dubai. Beauty! I'm a brother, that's high living. And it is. My daddy said one time, I don't mind flying as long as I keep 1 foot on the ground. But that's high living. But we've got the world. It's almost unbelievable what man can do. In fact, God said way back yonder, He said, if we don't confound the man's language, whatever he conceives in his mind, he'll be able to do it. And it seems like now we've come to what Daniel said in the last days, how they will take place. Oh, this is wonderful what I've just said, but when it comes to sin, man needs help in his life. Man needs somebody to redeem him from sin. That man needs somebody to save him. He needs the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad today that the Lord came by. Hallelujah. And saved us from our sins. If you're saved there, wave your hand to heaven. Wave your hand to heaven, amen. We're saved by the blood, amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen. In that 8th verse again, Pharaoh hated frogs. They were ruining the lives of the people in Egypt. There was no joy. There was no happiness. There was no quality of life. Frogs were everywhere. Seemed like life was passing them by, but they were ruining, they're ruining everything. So Pharaoh called for Moses, the man of God, made a request that Moses pray. I'm going to stop there. Whatever you do, keep on living right, keep on praying. People will say, Brother Jones, I don't want to hear it anymore. Keep on praying for them. You don't have to minister to them. You don't have to, I've heard people beat them over the head with it. After you've shared the gospel with them and they know, pray. Turn it over to God. Let God handle it. But this is so important. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you come to a place in your life that you prayed for this one, your loved one, like Jay has mentioned this morning, loved ones in his family that are unsaved, and every one of us have family members and loved ones that are unsaved. I want us to understand today, when Pharaoh called for Moses, he wanted him to pray. He wanted to pray that somehow God will get rid of the frogs. Keep this in mind. It might not happen in your lifetime. Your children might not get saved. Your loved one might not get saved in your lifetime. But you pray nonetheless. Hold on to God. Some people have got saved after the prayer warrior died.
Yes.
Keep on praying. Don't ever give up. When you've ministered and seem like they're going the other way, and I'll tell you what the devil will tell you. The devil will say, if you'll just keep quiet, maybe they'll get saved.
Come on.
I don't want you to keep quiet. I want you to talk to God.
Amen.
Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Ask God to give you wisdom and understanding and know how to go about witnessing and all the rest. But you don't want to be a nuisance, but you want to pray. Prayer is powerful.
Yes.
I believe it.
Yes.
Prayer is powerful.
Yes.
And Moses, a man that has rejected God, a man that didn't want to have anything to do with God, a man that would rather for the waters to be blood than to turn to God. A man that's got frogs now, and he wants to get rid of the frogs, and he wants Moses to pray. There'll come a time in your life, if you'll serve God and seek God, somebody will call on you to pray.
Yeah.
Somebody will watch your life on the job. They'll realize that you're a Christian, you're different from others. And when there's a need in their family, they'll call on you to pray. My wife is sick. My wife has the cancer. My son has this or that. Would you pray? I've watched your life. I know that you're a Christian. I know that you go to church. Would you remember me in prayer? We've had people to make prayer requests right here. Folks, keep on praying. I'll just throw this out before I go on. We have a committee in this church made up of our deacons that have worked now for a long time, and I don't know how long time it's been, searching for a pastor. And they have been diligent about it, and they've prayed. And we prayed. And they've sought God, and they've contacted various ones, and we've had those that come and enjoyed the ministry, and two of those were voted upon and received good votes, and then those persons decided that they were not prepared or ready to go to pastorate. They were going to stay on the evangelist field. I believe God has worked everything to right now. I don't believe it's just happenstance.
No.
I believe God's heard and answered prayer.
Oh, yes.
And I believe God will continue to answer prayer.
Yes.
God loves you.
Yes.
God loves this church.
Yes.
Not because we're anything special in the eyes of the world, but we're special to Him.
Amen.
We're His. Right. And we'll believe in God to work everything out for His glory.
Amen.
Right. Amen. We're going to be voting tonight. And I put it in the bulletin, and I tell you again now, it's no time to stop praying.
No.
Keep on praying today.
Yes.
God's a big God. I thank God for the good spirit that was manifest in the service last Sunday. Yes. And those in the altar that were praying, God's a good God.
Amen.
And He loves us.
Yes.
And He loves to do good things for us. But if we'll remember this, whatever happens, not only today, but tomorrow, and the next week, and the next day, wherever, whatever you do, pray. We were living in Tucson a long time ago, came back from England. over the door, on the inside of the front door. We had that little plaque that said, prayer changes things. We had a piano. We had a man to come to tune the piano if he could. We brought it back from England, and we didn't realize it had a wooden back, and it's hard to keep a wooden back piano in tune. He told us how we could doctor and whatever. And as he's going out the door, he stopped and looked and read it and turned and said, I wonder. And he gave us an opportunity to testify. I don't wonder today if prayer changes things. I know it changes things. Prayer is the answer. I mentioned about what we have done in America as far as our wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all the rest, and how the atomic bomb and the nuclear bomb, and now we've got so much out there that is so powerful and all the rest. I want you to know all of that put together in one pile won't even begin to take care of what the power of prayer is. Prayer, brother, can move heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Can move the hand of God.
Yes,
prayer changes things.
Yes,
prayer changes people. Keep on praying.
Yes.
Thank God, thank God. He hears.
Hallelujah.
And he answers prayer. So Moses was called before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, Moses, I know, and that's what he said, I know that your God has turned the waters to blood. I know that your God that has sent these frogs, and my magicians cannot get rid of them, and they're ruining our lives. They're everywhere we go. We can't have a life. Will you pray when you pray? Somebody calls you on the phone today and said, would you pray? Don't brush it off. Get down to prayer. Sometimes I think we take it so lightly. Remember me in prayer, which okay, and hang up. Go about our business, and maybe next day or the next day, it finally comes back to our mind. When people ask you for prayer, say, sure to pray. You might be the only one between them and God, touching the hand of Almighty God. Moses, pray! I'm going to read the ninth verse. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I retreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? When do you want me to pray? When do you want the frogs removed? When is it that you want something done? And the tenth verse says, and Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. From this very pulpit years ago, Terry Cramer preached the sermon, One More Night with the Frogs. I did not preach what he preached. He did not preach what I'm preaching today. But when you come to this last verse, Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to pray? When do you want the frogs destroyed? When do you want to get rid of these kind of frogs out in the land? And Pharaoh made undoubtedly one of the strangest answers and the strangest request and the most foolish, I believe, in all the Bible. He said, tomorrow.
Amen.
I want to stop right there. Think about it. Their lives are ruined. They can't get rid of them. Everything's in a turmoil. Pray that God will get rid of them. When do you want me to pray? And Pharaoh, why he said it? Has he lost his mind? Why he said it? Does it make sense? Tomorrow. Not today. Not tonight. But tomorrow. Pray for the frogs too. And so I want to leave something with you in this service. There are multiplied thousands this morning around the world that are just like Pharaoh. Sin is in their life. They can't get rid of it. They can't break a habit that's binding them, destroying their testimony, ruining them. They're bound. No hope. They realize if they continue living the way they're living, they'll end up in hell, in the torments of the damned. They're living with conviction and condemnation, going through life with no joy, with no victory, no happiness. Anytime they hear the gospel or hear a gospel song, it stirs their heart. They realize, I'm lost, I'm lost. I know I've been there. Conviction would grip my heart. And yet I'd brush it aside and go living in sin. The world is full of people like that. And we say, Pharaoh was foolish. No more foolish than the man that is unsaved says, tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to get saved. Now I want to share the last part of the sermon. Not with the unsaved. I don't know the lives of everyone, but I want to share the lives with all of us that are saved. If we're not careful, we'll put off the blessings of God that God has for us right now till tomorrow. I've heard people testify, well, I didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost this revival, but when the next revival comes, I'm going to get back in that altar. We don't need to wait till another revival. The devil will cause you to think tomorrow is a good time. Not today. Not now. Tomorrow, I'm going to sell out to God. Tomorrow, I'm going to start paying tithes. Tomorrow, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Tomorrow, I'm going to start living right. That is just as foolish as Pharaoh. And when I heard Terry Kramer mention that title, One More Night with the Frogs, I thought, there's one thing worse than that. One more night in sin. Wallowing in sin. And one more night when God wants to bless believers. When God wants to do something good in our hearts. When God wants to do what is promised in the Bible. Hallelujah. We keep on saying tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow. And I urge everyone to not today. Right here. Right now. God is just as real today as He's ever been. He loves us today just as much as He ever did. More than we can ever imagine. He loves to do good things for His people. Do you believe that? He loves to do good things for His children. And too often, the devil will put it in our hearts and mind. We won't say it, but actually we believe it. And we live it that way. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. I urge you as my wife comes to the piano, I'd like you to take one step today, everybody in the house, take one step today towards this altar with me and say it in your heart, today is my day. Today is my day of victory. Today is my day to rejoice because of what God has done. I sent a Christmas card to a person this year. He used to come to this church, has been in this altar. As I was praying and wrote a little note in the Christmas card, I said, I'm praying that 2014 will be your year. I didn't mean for prosperity, I meant for salvation. And as you stand this morning, we're going to sing a chorus. And as you take a first step towards this altar, I want you to have this in your mind. This is my first step today for the blessings of God, for me now. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for what He's going to do down the road, but thank God for now.